Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for staying awake. I'm today presenting some of the work that I've done for my dissertation research concerning the microbial iron reduction in the rhizosphere of blueberries and how this may be a secondary pool of reduced iron. So I want to start by talking about the southern high-bush blueberry. As all of you know, the southern high-bush blueberry is a specialty crop produced by interspecific hybrids of Vaccinium coryn bosum. And this plant is best adapted to acidic soils. And as a consequence of acidic soils being relatively rare in farmland, we have a crop species that's likely to have iron deficiencies among other nutrient deficiencies. The iron deficiency in the blueberry manifests itself with a multitude of symptoms, the most notorious of which is iron deficiency chlorosis, or iron chlorosis, in which the plants take the appearance that we can see here in the image, where the veins remain green, while the intervenial space becomes lighter and lighter colored from dark green to light green onto yellow. So now that I'm talking about iron, I wanted to also introduce the strategy one iron reduction. This is the way in which blueberries take up iron from the soil, and it's canonically expressed as a product of three different processes. The first one is the acidification of the rhizosphere, the second one is the reduction of iron, and the third one is the transmembrane transport. But I think with my diagram I'm able to explain it better. So take it for what it is. This is a root epidermal cell, and what you see there labeled as FCR is the ferrochelate reductase. This is a plasma membrane integral protein, and what it does is it reduces iron from the 3+ to the 2+ state in the apoplasm. Once the FCR has done its action, there's a pool of reduced iron right outside the roots from which the iron diffuses passively into the cell. Now, as you can imagine, a pool of a nutrient that's outside of the plant is one that the plant can hardly have any control in. So many researchers have found that there's microbial and biochemical phenomena outside of the roots that can actually reoxidize the iron to iron 3+, or furthermore consume that iron and sequester it away from plant species. This same question hasn't been researched in the southern high-bush blueberry. So we hypothesize that microbiota in the southern high-bush blueberry rhizosphere are capable of reducing iron, that the interaction of roots and microbes can increase the root FCR activity, and that the microbial iron reduction in the southern high-bush blueberry can actually have an effect in the plant iron nutrition. And to do this, we went ahead and isolated microbial organisms, fungi and oomycota, from the roots of blueberries. I save you the pain of going through the plant pathology that led to this, and I jump straight into this graph showing different isolates from the rhizosphere of the southern high bush that are being compared to the FCR activity of the plants where they were isolated. So the black column in my graph here is the average FCR activity of the roots of the southern high bush blueberry cultivar Emerald, and I'm comparing these to different isolates from that same root. As can be seen here, denoted by the asterisk at the top of the columns, some fungi and oomycota in the rhizosphere of the southern high-bush blueberry exhibited equal or greater capacity to reduce iron than the blueberry roots. Hence, we went ahead and selected three candidates from this group to actually test what the effect of inoculation with these microorganisms would have on the plant activity. So we selected Turkendera adusta, Pythium irregulari, and Alternaria alternata as our three token organisms, and we went ahead and used a synchronous inoculation technique to create a microbial consortium. This microbial consortium is basically a 3mm agar plug that allows us to develop consistently propagules of all three species into the blueberry rhizosphere. With this consortium, we went ahead and proceeded to the implant experiments, which is what we are all concerned with in this conference. The plant material that we used for this were micropropagated southern high-bush blueberries snow chaser, and we rooted these plants under sterile conditions and maintained the experiment as sterile as necessary for the inoculation experiments. So after 14 days of acclimation, we went ahead and applied one of three inoculation treatments. The first one, which was the control, in which we did not inoculate the rhizosphere with anything. The second one, in which we inoculated the rhizosphere with a plug that contained all three microorganisms, and you're going to see me refer to this treatment as consortium from here on. And finally, the third treatment, which was just an inoculation control, in which we only had a sterile plug that was added into that rhizosphere. From this point on, every 10 days, so on days 24, 34, and 44, we proceeded with data collection on different metrics of the root flux, the rhizospheric iron flux from the root into the plant. We started with an experiment testing the interaction between these microbes and the southern hybrid blueberry under iron scarcity. And the way we brought about this iron scarcity is that we transplanted the microcuttings into media and then did not replenish the iron for 44 days, which in turn led to declining levels of iron for the duration of the experiment. So first of all, the rhizospheres that we inoculated with microorganisms led to actual colonization of the roots, which was the first observation that we have here when we look at the roots under the microscope. Also, and as can be expected, iron scarcity led to iron deficiency symptoms, and this was across all treatments starting on day 34. So the plant started exhibiting the classic iron chlorosis symptoms because the iron was being depleted as the plant grew. When we measured the ferrochelate reductase activity of this plant, we found no significant differences between plants that had been inoculated with the consortium and plants that were not inoculated. In this graph, the columns represent the mean FCR for six different replications for each one of the treatments, where the consortium, where plants that were inoculated with the microbial consortium are in the black columns, plants that were not inoculated are in the white columns, and plants that were mock inoculated with the plug are in the gray columns. As can be seen, there's no significant difference brought about by the inoculation, and the red line in the graph shows that the iron concentration was indeed declining. We used additional replications from day 44, and we embedded these in gels that contain ferrocene. This allows us to see where in the rhizosphere is the root reduction, is the iron reduction happening. And what we found was that the microbial colonization did not have an effect in this localization either. Moving on, we measured also the iron uptake from the medium. To quantify the iron uptake from the medium, we knew the amount of iron that was present in the rhizosphere, and then we measured what was left after we removed the plant. And we found that microbial colonization did not affect iron uptake from the medium, and moreover, we also found that microbial colonization did not affect active iron content in the plant leaves. The active iron content is a fraction of the total iron that's extracted with dilute acids, and it's thought to reflect the iron status of the plant better than the total iron. Hence, we went after this measurement only to find that the microbial colonization did not make a difference under iron scarcity conditions. We followed this with an iron abundance experiment, and to bring about the iron abundance, what we did is that we replenished the iron levels into the medium weekly, and we used the previous experiment, the depletion from the previous experiment, to guide how much iron we should continuously add into our medium. We went ahead and tested, of course, that our treatments had been effective, and we found that yes, indeed, microorganisms successfully colonized the rhizosphere in the right treatments, and as expected, we did not find any symptoms of iron deficiency for the duration of the experiment. So moving on, we went ahead to measure the ferrochelate reductase activity, and much like the first experiment, we did not find a significant effect of microbial colonization. It should be noted here that the FCR activity, the magnitude of the FCR activity is much greater than in the iron scarcity experiment, but that was to be expected because the FCR is a substrate-induced enzyme, and as a consequence of the higher presence of iron, there's more enzymatic activity. Also, as can be seen here, the iron concentration was maintained somewhat constant at levels that were twofold to sixfold greater than in the iron scarcity experiment. At day 44, we also took additional replications from our experiment into the ferrocene gels, only to find that the microbial colonization did not affect plant FCR activity localization. But in this experiment, we did something different, which had to do with the larger amount of iron found in the rhizosphere. So we went ahead and looked at what kind of speciation of iron do we find in this rhizosphere. So is the iron left in the medium in the 3+ or the 2+ state? And this is where the story started coming together a little better. What I'm showing here is the concentration of total iron and reduced iron. Reduced iron concentration is shown in the dark fraction of these columns, and the letters, which in this case are white letters, are showing the differences tested within each day. So we found that consistently across days 24, 34, and 44, if the rhizosphere had been inoculated with the microbial consortium, there was a greater concentration of reduced iron. So that rhizospheric pool of reduced iron that I started talking about, we found that that was significantly larger if there were microorganisms in that rhizosphere. When we looked at the total iron here, there were no consistent differences. What we found was that of all the iron that was present, there was an enrichment in the rhizosphere for reduced iron. To our surprise, microbial colonization actually reduced the iron uptake from the medium. So even though there was a significant portion of reduced iron, this iron was not being made available for the plant. And as a consequence also, microbial colonization did not affect the active iron content in the plant leaves. So putting this all together in a summary, what we found was that fungi and Oomycota isolated from the southern hybrid blueberry are capable of reducing iron, which is something that has rarely been reported for oomycetes and only reported for human pathogenic fungi before. We also found that the in vitro interaction with microbial consortiums does not affect the magnitude or localization of the root FCR. And we found also that when iron is abundant, inoculation with a microbial consortium shifts iron speciation towards reduced iron. But even though that is the case, this microbial colonization reduces the iron uptake and has no impact on plant iron status, suggesting that iron was sequestered by the microbial biomass. So in conclusion, we have found that despite the high microbial FCR activity that we have measured, microbial colonization of the southern hybrid rhizosphere has no effect on the iron nutrition. And with this, I would like to acknowledge the members of both my labs at the University of Florida and the people that have been instrumental to this work. And I'd be glad to take your questions. Tell me.
What was the pH of the media that the plants are being grown on? And have you considered changing the pH or having different pH in your experiment?
The question was, what was the pH of the media in which the experiment was carried out? The medium is buffered at pH 5.5. Which is both the pH that we aim for in most field situations and the pH of the hydroponic system in which most of the blueberry root physiology has been studied at.
When you use the term sequestered, what do you actually mean? Did you mean that it's the microbes are taking the iron up themselves, you know, for their own growth, or is it that they're doing something else?
The question is, what exactly do I mean by sequestered? That is a complex question in the sense that we never went after measuring the iron fraction in the microbial biomass. And fungi in particular, which are the better studied microorganisms in this group, have many ways in which they use the extracellular iron, not necessarily all for their nutrition. So we use the term sequestered here to mean that it's not available to the plant caused by the presence of the microorganism. Anybody else? Tell me.
Will you then consider these microorganisms a negative factor for iron uptake in the rhizosphere under the conditions of your study?
The question is, would I consider that these microorganisms are a negative factor for the rhizosphere? I think if the conditions are held as they have been in this experiment, which is a completely artificial environment, yes, the microorganisms are leading to a decrease in the iron uptake from the medium. However, since we did not find any symptoms of iron deficiency for the duration of the experiment, this does imply that there is some luxury consumption of iron in part of the plant. So it takes away some of the negative effect that the microbes could have, which is the first part of my answer. The second part would be, of course, interactions between plant and microbes in a real-life scenario where there are more than one sources of inoculum and there's a dynamic flux of nutrients would have to be studied before we can actually answer this question in a more satisfactory way.
Can you measure the dry mass, biomass between the control and inoculated?
The plant biomass. The question is, did we measure the plant biomass between control and non-inoculated? Yes, we did. There were no significant differences in either fresh weight or dry weight, which is relatively common for a study on micronutrient deficiencies that lasted about 45 days. And Dr. Larine?
In the sandy sort of organic soil where blueberries thrive in the forest, is there a lot of iron available to them, or do blueberries not need much iron, or why are they so susceptible to iron deficiency when the pH gets higher?
There's more than one effect. The question is, in the sandy soils in the forest where blueberries grow in the wild, why are they or are they not susceptible to iron deficiency? The iron solubility is heavily affected by pH. So if the pH of the soil goes above generally 5.5 to 5.7, if the pH goes above that, the iron precipitates as hydroxides, which are not available to the plant and are actually percolated. So that is part of why that's sort of bringing together the idea of the soil adaptation to acid soils in blueberries and the iron nutrition of the plant. That is how they come together. Is there a lot of iron in the system? No, there isn't. The soils in which the blueberries thrive in the wild are not particularly rich in any nutrients other than mostly organic nitrogens. And I think this is my cue, but thank you.
Thanks, Jordan.